April 1982 marked the restoration of full diplomatic relations between the United Kingdom and the Holy See, following a break of over 400 years. Ambassador Sir Mark Heath presented his credentials on April 1, 1982, just a few months ahead of Pope John Paul II's historic visit to Britain, the first pope to travel there and mark a significant milestone on the road to post-Reformation reconciliation. But the history of UK-Holy See relations goes back to the days before the Reformation and the founding of the Church of England, right back to 1479, when King Edward IV appointed the first resident ambassador to the Vatican. But that relationship didn't last long. In fact, it was broken off just half a century later.
They were broken off under Henry VIII, restored under Mary, and then broken off again under Queen Elizabeth I. And it was then rather a long time until formal relations were re-established.
George Edgar is chargé d'affaires at the British Embassy to the Holy See. He came to Vatican Radio to tell us more about the history of those diplomatic relations and the impact of Pope Benedict's recent visit to the UK in September last year.
It was in 1914, just after the outbreak of the First World War, that formal relations were re-established.
Do you know the reason behind that at that time? As you say, it was just around the outbreak of World War One.
I think it was very much in connection with the outbreak of the war that the British government felt it was important to be close to the Holy See at that point, given the influence of the Pope and of the Holy See in international affairs. And the difficult stage of European history, it was felt important to be present and to be able to deal directly with the Pope and with the Curia.
Although it was still quite a difficult time for Anglican-Catholic relations, wasn't it? And it was obligatory for the ambassador to be an Anglican at that time, something which continued pretty much up until the days of your predecessor.
That's right. Francis Campbell was, as I think is well known, was the first Catholic to be appointed to the job of ambassador to the Holy See, or indeed head of our representation to the Holy See in recent times. So yes, that was an issue. But I think the purpose of the mission from 1914, as indeed now, is very much primarily focused on government-to-government relations rather than church-church relations. The Anglican Church manages very effectively its own relationship with the Catholic Church.
Full relations then were restored, as we said, in April 1982, just ahead of the first ever papal visit to Britain, John Paul II's historic visit in the summer of 1982. How important was that, do you think? What kind of event was it, the restoration of relations, first of all?
It was in a way important primarily symbolically because there was already an effective diplomatic relationship, and indeed it was the same person, Mark Heath, who moved from being minister to being ambassador. So it didn't fundamentally change the day-to-day workings of the mission, but what it meant was that we were restoring to a full level of diplomatic relations. And I think it was a reflection of the way in which the relationship had developed. It was a reflection of a very healthy relationship between the British government and the Holy See. And again, as you've suggested, it was looking forward to Pope John Paul's visit, which was the first ever visit by a pope to Britain, and therefore a hugely important event in the relationship.
Do you remember that visit yourself? What was the impact, do you think, in terms of people in Britain, the Catholic population of Britain particularly?
I remember very much the media coverage of the visit, the focus on John Paul II, as people have described him, as a great communicator. It was a complicated time in political terms, because on the one hand you had some of the work that John Paul II was doing in terms of the relationship with Eastern Europe, changes beginning in Poland and elsewhere in Eastern Europe, which gave one sort of political focus to it. On the other hand, the visit took place against the backgrounds of the Falklands conflict, which was a potential source of friction between the British government and the Holy See. But in the end, it was, of course, a pastoral visit. And the focus of the visit itself was very much the Pope coming and meeting the Catholic faithful in the UK. And that was clearly a very joyful occasion, a very important occasion, and one which I know from a lot of Catholic friends has stuck in people's memory in a really vivid way.
The first ambassador, as you say, Mark Heath, presented his credentials. And as he spoke to the Pope, the issues on the agenda then were Poland, the situation in Eastern Europe, still under communist rule, and Northern Ireland was another critical issue that they were looking at together. Now, both of those, in some sense, have been resolved, we could say. What would you say are the key issues, the critical issues, where the UK government and the Holy See are working together today?
I'd say there are essentially two sets of international issues. We have a great interest in keeping close to the thinking of the Vatican about regional issues. For example, the kind of things which are going on in North Africa at the moment, or the difficulties in Côte d'Ivoire, to which Pope Benedict XVI has sent an envoy, has sent Cardinal Turkson as his envoy. So there's an interest in those issues on the part of the Holy See. There's an interest on our part. I think from both sides that there's useful information to share and value in combining our influence where we can. Then there are the broader international issues. We have a very good relationship on a number of development issues, partly through the work that the British Department for International Development does directly with the UK-based Catholic aid organisations. But then more generally, we have very useful discussions both with the Secretariat in the Vatican and with the other organisations such as the Council for Justice and Peace, which handle the policy side of these issues. So we're keen to continue those discussions and then to work together on other big global issues, whether that's human rights or climate change, for example.
And you're working, as you say, along a range of broad range of different issues, aren't you? From nuclear deterrence, for example, to immunisation in Africa. Can you give us perhaps an idea, a flavour of some of the different subjects that you'll be looking at over the course of your work?
Well, you've mentioned two very important ones, and both the Holy See and the Catholic Church in a number of countries, including the UK, had, for example, a very influential role in the work that's been done up to now towards establishment of an international arms trade treaty. That's something that's very close to the heart of the British government as well, and something we'll want to continue working on together. Then, as I mentioned, climate change is another issue on which Pope Benedict XVI has made clear his concern. It was something that was highlighted in a message that he issued ahead of the Copenhagen meeting on climate change the year before last. And it's something on which the Vatican continues to work. I attended, for example, a fascinating conference at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences on mountain glaciers, which may sound quite specialised, but actually the fate of mountain glaciers is something that really illustrates the kind of problems we face in terms of the impacts of climate change, how we work to reduce those impacts and how we adapt to the impacts that are inevitable. So I think that the Holy See has a great deal to contribute on issues of that kind, and we're therefore very keen, in the sense that we share goals and we share ambitions in those areas, we're very keen to work together with them.
The development agencies, the NGOs in Britain and indeed in many other countries are keen to put this right at the top of the political agenda, climate change and its impact on development particularly. Can we call it a priority for the British government at the moment?
Absolutely, yes. It's a priority both in its own terms as an issue that has to be faced, that the world has to face up to. It's a priority, as you say, also because it impacts on development. And the British government has made very clear that we feel that more needs to be done, for example, to implement the Millennium Development Goals. We were a very keen participant in the summit last year, which took place just after Pope Benedict's visit to the UK, the summit in New York to review where we've got to so far on the Millennium Development Goals. And while there's been good progress on some of them, there are others where we really have a very long way to go. And that's something we feel is an obligation on the part of the developed countries to work with developing countries to achieve those. And it's something where climate change can have a very negative effect in terms of its impact on poverty, on hunger and so on.
Thank you. let's look back at Pope Benedict's visit to the UK in September 2010. You were very involved, weren't you, as head of the papal visit team concerned with the political issues on the agenda?
That's right. I came in May last year to head up, really to establish and then to head up a team which was primarily looking at the policy aspects. My colleagues in the Foreign Office's Protocol Directorate dealt with the very complicated logistics of the visit, and I looked more at the policy side.
The months leading up to the visit were difficult, weren't they? There was a lot of concern about how well this visit would go.
There was a lot of negative comment in the media, and a feeling at various times that we had a big uphill struggle to make sure that things did work. But working very closely together with the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales and the Scottish Bishops' Conference, we made sure that the right arrangements were in place for all the events. I think the programme, as it ended up, was an excellent one. And I say that's having inherited a lot of it from those who were involved before I was. And the way that Pope Benedict XVI himself came across once he arrived in the UK, I think helped to dissolve a lot of those doubts that had been there before. He made a very powerful impression. And it's an indication of that that the police estimated that over 500,000 people in the UK either attended the big pastoral events or came to see Pope Benedict as he travelled through Edinburgh, Glasgow, London and Birmingham. And I think some of the speeches that he made, particularly the speech to civil society in Westminster Hall, also made a very powerful impression. Partly that was the Pope's willingness to address very directly difficult topics. Partly it was the very profound comments on the role of faith in society. And then on top of that, the speech in Westminster Hall addressed in a powerful way some very specific issues around international development.
Many people talk about the sight of the Vatican flags alongside the Union Jack going down the Mall, something which they see as a real turning point in the history of British relations with the Holy See. Do you agree with that? Do you think it really has had a huge impact, something of a turning point, can we say, even in the attitude of the government towards the Church and towards the Holy See?
I'd say, to be honest, less of a turning point than of a confirmation, an affirmation of something which really had been developing over a long period. As we've already talked about, the restoration of full diplomatic relations came 28 years earlier. So this was something which really marks the end of a long process rather than a sudden shift, I think. But it is very much an indication of complete normality of relations. And going further than that, of a very warm and mutually comfortable and happy relationship.
Certainly David Cameron's address to the Pope made it seem that all was well, that the government was very keen on working even more closely together. And yet there are still significant areas of difference. How much do you think perhaps this visit will continue to influence the way the government is keen to work with the Church, also the Catholic Church in the UK, as well as with the Holy See?
Well, we certainly very much intend to continue to work closely both with the Holy See and in the UK with the Catholic Church and with Catholic organisations. As I mentioned, there's a very good relationship between DFID and the UK-based Catholic aid organisations. Yes, there are issues on which we take a different approach. I think those are issues that we're comfortable discussing between ourselves. That will no doubt continue to be the case, but that's the case with every bilateral relationship. So I don't think that's something which we should be excessively sensitive about. And as I say, the discussions that took place during the visit, and particularly perhaps the discussions at the dinner which was hosted by the Foreign Secretary for the delegation that came with Pope Benedict, that was an opportunity for discussion of a whole range of areas where we can work well together. Some of those international, the ones I've already mentioned, but then also domestic issues, for example, the role of the Church and of faiths more widely in education, the contribution that can be made by faith groups and by the churches to the big society agenda. There was a whole range of areas where we felt, coming out of those discussions, that we can work well together.
My thanks there to George Edgar, chargé d'affaires at the British Embassy to the Holy See.